This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, July 29th. I'm Audra McCabe. Last Tuesday, a man driving a pickup truck hit a group of cyclists on a ride south of Durango. According to the Grand Fond Guide, a website dedicated to cycling, witnesses described the truck's passenger side mirror striking several riders before pulling one cyclist beneath the vehicle and its attached trailer. The injured rider was identified by the cycling community as Elliot Saslow, 32, a coach with Youth Development Program Durango Devo, and more recently, the owner of the longtime local bike shop, Mountain Bike Specialists. Saslow suffered multiple fractures, including a fractured pelvis, and was transported to Mercy Hospital in serious condition. The driver was allegedly intoxicated, and witnesses reported that he was aggressive after the crash and told police he, quote, didn't care about cyclists. On social media, the cycling community has rallied around Saslow and warned other cyclists to remain vigilant. At the Hotchkiss Town Council meeting last week, councilors mulled over the idea of developing a park near the Elk Lodge on Main Street. The idea was presented by resident and KVNF volunteer DJ Donald Foster, who envisioned the park including green space, a community kitchen, daycare facilities, and a hospitality area. He proposed the town form a small working group, including trustees and community volunteers, to research costs, grants, liability, and governance over a two-month period and report back to the board.
First step here is what I was thinking, was that you would have a working group, a couple of people from the town and some people from the community who would research and report back in 2 months, take on any issues, liability, the whole package, draft it, outline it, and then bring it back to the council for review.
The board did not vote on the proposal, but informally agreed to place it on the August agenda. The Colorado River loses millions of acre feet of water each year to evaporation, but scientists say measuring exactly how much has been a challenge. Now, a new effort aims to improve those estimates using weather stations. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Bradle reports.
The Colorado River Basin's two largest reservoirs have fallen to record low levels. Federal officials are trying to hammer out new rules for sharing the river's shrinking water supply. That's why the Desert Research Institute is working to better measure one of the river's biggest sources of water loss, evaporation. Chris Pearson says that starts with gathering better data.
This project places our monitoring equipment in the middle of the reservoir to provide kind of a cleaner picture of air temperature, humidity, wind speed over the water, as well as the water temperature signal at the center of the water body.
Pearson says combining those measurements with satellite data will improve evaporation estimates at major upper basin reservoirs. That could help water managers make better decisions at a time when the river is under increasing pressure. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
Nonprofits in the Boulder area have joined with members of the Northern Arapaho tribe to restore access to choke cherries, a traditional food with deep cultural and ceremonial significance. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KGNU's Abby O'Brien has more.
The berries are really tiny. They look like miniature grapes. They're like a dark red. They're pretty firm. They have a pretty beautiful color of like red-purple.
That's Emily. She's volunteering to harvest choke cherries. The Harvest is a collaboration between Wildlands Restoration Volunteers, Community Fruit Rescue, the City of Longmont, and the Northern Arapaho Community on the Wind River Reservation.
I'm pulling each strand of choke cherries through, and it's separating it from the stem.
The choke cherry plant, Prunus virginiana, is historically native to most of the North American continent. Today, you can mostly find it in Canada and the northern half of the U.S., including in Colorado.
Colorado is our ancestral homelands of the Arapaho people, all the way down from Fort Collins to Pikes Peak.
Jackie White is a tribal relations specialist with the Wyoming Food Bank. She's the main liaison between the groups coordinating the harvest and the Wind River community, where the fruit will end up.
My name is Jacqueline White. My Arapaho name is Singing Crane Woman. We have partnered together to harvest choke cherries for our elder food boxes for Native American Heritage Month.
The Northern Arapaho now live on the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming, and the Southern Arapaho live with the Southern Cheyenne in Oklahoma. the choke cherry doesn't grow as abundantly in Wyoming or Oklahoma as they do here on the Front Range. It's a keystone species, vitally important for providing habitat and food for many species of birds, insects, and mammals, including people.
There is no other berry that we could use in substitution for choke cherry, so it's significant to us as Arapaho people. It's just so beautiful because people have opened up their private properties where we can come harvest choke cherries. We're collaborating and we're working together to do something good for our Arapaho people.
Leah is a tree steward, one of those people who invited the project to come harvest the choke cherries in her yard in Boulder.
I just thought it was a really cool program to give back and not let the food go to waste. The choke cherry tree is on the north side of our property, and it actually has produced kind of prolifically for years. And so that's why I was excited to hear about this program, because I actually am not familiar with working with it. So I'm excited to connect with people who are.
Before heading out to harvest, volunteers met up at North Boulder Park on the hottest day of the year to hear about the purpose of the project and instructions for harvesting. Community Fruit Rescue Executive Director Melanie Hill warned that the harvest will be different this year due to the mild winter and hot, dry spring and summer.
It's so hot. Things are dropping early. We've already had to do some early harvest here. So we've got four harvests tonight.
At one of the four sites, I spoke to Travis Shakespeare, also from the Northern Arapaho Tribe.
Amongst my people, I'm known as a Naku Nanana. That means I'm a white painted man, but I'm a ceremonial man. The choke cherry is so important to us. We have our pipe fast twice a year and our sun dance once a year. And in those ceremonies, we have no substitute for the choke cherry. We make a medicine water at the end. The fasters all drink the medicine water. It's the choke cherry ground up plus other roots.
Travis drove down from Wyoming with his family to participate in the harvest.
My wife, Patricia, my middle daughter, Skyla, my youngest son, Travis Jr., and then my two granddaughters, Brunel Moss and Rosie Moss. For my grandchildren, this is like one of their first times being a part of this event, you know. And my other two kids, you know, we go harvest all the time in the fall time when we get a chance. When I was a kid, with my shirt like that, I would be picking them. And my grandma would be like, your shirt's all dirty. I was like, I know, but we got about 2 pounds of choke cherries.
Last year, the project harvested 300 pounds of choke cherries. This year, organizers expect a smaller harvest, so every pound counts. Jackie White says they'll be made into jam for the elder food boxes the Wyoming Food Bank gives to homebound senior citizens. Any leftover choke cherries will be gifted to the people of the Shoshone and Arapaho tribes for ceremonial use.
We have a lot of love and respect for our traditional foods, and that is one of them. Grandparents that got the choke cherry jam. I'm like, well, what did your grandparents think? And that girl was like, she said, my grandma savored it so much. She was so thankful. The grandma started talking about stories of her childhood in choke cherries.
Wildlands Restoration volunteers helped start up the project with Jackie 2 years ago. Program Director Morgan Crowley says she hopes it will continue to grow.
We're still saving the berries that aren't good or that are squished for seed. And then we'll go out and rescatter those seeds in areas where we're harvested so that we're making sure that there's an abundance of shrubs in the future as well. We really hope to also in the future go up to the reservation and find areas where we can plant more choke cherries so that there's more abundance available there as well. Relationships and maintaining those relationships and continuing to build upon it is just so important for repairing, you know, the trust and the relationships that were damaged because, you know, the Northern Arapaho were forcibly removed from these lands.
Again, here's Jackie.
When we do things in our way of life, we try to leave something good for those future generations, for those that are not yet born. The people of Colorado, I would just like to say paho for all that you're doing to help us bring choke cherries to our people in Wyoming.
For KGNU, I'm Abby O'Brien.
That report was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KVNF. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audrey McCabe.